Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Gail, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Admia Holding conference call and to present and discuss the full year 2020 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Ioannis Karabelas, CEO of Admia Holding SA. Mr. Karabelas, you may now proceed.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and good morning to those of you listening us across the globe. Welcome to this conference call of Admia Holdings full year results for 2020. We appreciate you taking time today to join us. Mr. Riasson Roussopoulos, Deputy CFO, and Mrs. Zarikou, Finance Director of IPTO, are next to me, as well as Mr. George Eleftheriou, Head of IR. I will briefly highlight the finance performance of Admia Holding, and then Iason will proceed with his remarks on IPTO. As this is only a summary of our results, please refer to the financial statements that are available on the website of this company for further details if needed. After the first presentation, our team will be at your disposal for any questions you may have. So 2020 was a year of tremendous challenges, the likes of which we have never seen. It appears that 2021 has perhaps its own set of challenges. Our hearts go out to everyone that has been and are impacted by the outgoing challenges of COVID-19. In 2020, Admia Holding achieved a net profit of 43.2 million euros, making a decrease of 19.7% compared to the last year. Operating expenses stood at 419,000 euros, related mainly to personnel and management fees and fees to third parties such as legal, accounting and auditing services remain at the same levels of 2019. The company's cash results at the year-end amounted to 7 million euros and are deposited in a special account in Bank of Greece, providing an average of 1.8% return. Due to active cash management, the financial income amounted to 264,000 euros, partially offsetting the operating expenses. It is worth to underline that Admia Holding has no debt. The main revenue of Admia Holding is the dividend received from the affiliate company IPTO SA. Further on this, IPTO SA has a dividend policy of distributing the 50% of its net income to its shareholders while maintaining the rest in order to fund its extensive investment plan. Turning to Admia Holdings dividend policy for 2020, the company distributed the maximum permissible payout of cash dividend received from IPTO within the year in the form of an interim dividend. The interim dividend per share amounted to 8.9 cents per share. The proposal by the board for approval by shareholders at the annual general meeting, which will take place on 14th of July, is 1.8 cents per share, corresponding to a 4.15 million euros payout. Similar to 2020, the Board of Directors will propose the distribution of the maximum permissible cash dividend that will benefit from IPTO within the year in the form of an interim dividend. The interim dividend will amount 8.5 cents per share, corresponding to a 19.8 million euros payout. Both payments, regular and interim dividend, will take place the same day. The total dividend distribution is at 10.3 cents per share, and the total payout is 24 million euros, based on the closing price at the end of 2020. This corresponds to a yield of 3.9% and based on yesterday's closing price, and this corresponds to a yield of 3.7%. With that, I'm handing over to to IPTO's Deputy CFO, Iason Roussopoulos. Iason, over to you now.
Thank you, Yannis. I will briefly highlight the financial performance of FIPTO for 2020, in which we have been able to deliver a very strong set of numbers. Starting from our top line, the 2020 revenues from transmission system rent increased by 19.4%, almost 20%, at 273.6 million euros, driven mainly by the increase of allowed revenue set by the Regulatory Authority of Energy in its decision 235 of 2020, as a result of the budgeted expansion of FIPTO's regulated asset base. I would like to stress here that from this year and onwards, for the sake of better understanding and clarity, we disclose a new table that reconciles regulatory allowed revenue with revenue from transmission system rent. Total other revenue decreased by 7.5 million euros, mainly attributed to the significant increase of 2019 received customer contribution related to RES connection that reached 8.4 million euros, as opposed to 3.1 million euros in 2020. Consolidated operating expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization, increased by 35.1% at 87.8 million euros compared to 65 million euros in 2019. Let me elaborate on the most significant element in our OPEX. Payroll increased to 54.1 million euros, mainly though attributed to the positive one-off impact of 15.7 million euros last year in 2019 related to change in legislation regarding reduced electricity tariffs to ITOS employees. From 70% in the total amount of the bill to 30% regarding solely electricity consumption expense. So from 70 to 50% essentially, to 15% essentially. Therefore, on an adjusted basis, payroll decreased by 4.3%, mainly due to the successful voluntary exit schemes employed in 2018 and 2019. Contractors' costs reduced from 1.5 million euros to half million euro due to the significant decrease in contracting revenues, while third-party fees and third-party benefits showed a cumulative increase of 6.6 million euros, mainly due to fees related to the implementation of target model, as well as the maintenance and technical support of system control centers. Regarding other income, we had a decrease of 32 million euros from 35.1 million euros in 2019, attributed mainly to the recovery of the cost of Polypotamos project in 2019, amounting to 27.5 million euros, which, as mentioned before, is a non-recurring item. The total provisions in 2020 amounted to release of 8.7 million euros compared to release of 4.3 million euros, mainly due to dismissal of lawsuits by court decisions by contractors against the company, while group depreciation increased to 88.5 million euros, reflecting the surplus resulted from the revaluation of the operating tangible assets conducted in 2019 and amounting to 308 million euros, as well as due to the expansion of assets because of our CAPEX program. Moving on to profitability, consolidated EBITDA for the fiscal year reached 210.6 million euros, lower by 6.1% against last year. When excluding one-off items already described above, the adjusted EBITDA came in at 202.5 million euros, higher by 14.7% compared to 176.5 5 million euros in 2019. Turning now to the financials. Financial income of the group amounted to 6.1 million euros as compared to 13.4 million euros a year ago, as in 2019 it showed a one-off income due to the discount of receivables for the project of Polypotamos amounting to 4 million euros. While at the same time, as you know, we had a decrease in the interest rates, so the cash held at the Bank of Greece, along with a decrease in its yield, resulted in this decrease. On the other hand, financial expenses amounted to 13.2 million euros, reduced by 1.4%, including an extraordinary expense of 2.9 million euros attributed to refinancing in existing syndicated loans in more favorable terms that the group signed in 2020. So this was an accounting handling. On a more specific note, in the third quarter of 2020, IPTO Group signed an agreement for the issuance of a syndicated bond loan of 400 million euros in total with a consortium of banks. The term of the syndicated loan was 6 years and the interest rate was 2.1% for the first 3 years and 2% for the last 3 years plus Euribor. The purpose of the above contract is a refinancing of existing loan obligations of IPTO Group amounting to 310 million euros, as well as an amount of 90 million euros, that it is a revolving credit facility to service working capital needs. And because of this refinancing, we had to show this financial expense of 2.9 million euros that actually were the amortized upfront fees of the previous loans. At the bottom line, consolidated net profit decreased by 19.6% at 84.9 million euros versus 105.6 million euros in 2018. While adjusted net income came in at 81.1 million euros versus 78.7 million euros last year. In 2020, IPTO Group reported capital expenditures for the second consecutive year, marking a significant increase by 82%, reaching almost 460 million euros, while its net debt amounted to 504.5 million euros, with net debt to EBITDA, to adjusted EBITDA, at 2.49 times. At this point, I would like to highlight the significance of CAPEX for the company's sustainable development. Since IPTO is compensated based on its regulated asset base, it is highly critical that the CAPEX plan is implemented timely and precisely. Top management, in close cooperation with ADME Holding and, of course, a strategic investor, State Grid Corporation of China, carry on with the acceleration of the major projects with an increased focus on island interconnections. IPTO's working assumption is 4.5 billion euros investments on a cumulative total until 2029. The pickup in investments reflects the progress into contracting and construction phase for a series of a major projects such as Phase 4 of the Cyclades interconnection, Crete, Peloponnese and Crete, Attica interconnections, and the extension of the 400 kV system of Peloponnese while planning for the inclusion of the Dodecanese interconnection with a cost approximately 1.5 billion euros, and Northeastern Aegean interconnection with an estimated cost of almost 1 billion euros, two major projects that would most likely will be considered as projects of major importance, as it is right now Attica Crete and fourth phase of Cyclades interconnections. We can explain later the project of major importance scheme. At the same time, the company developed its new strategy for the period 2021-2024 with key focus on transforming the group into a technological company, fully utilizing its infrastructure and know-how. The key strategic priorities consist, first, the modernization of infrastructure to ensure the resilience and reliability of the system, because it's our main principal role. Second, the transformation of FIPTO into a technology company that utilizes its assets, such as facilities, vehicle fleet, optical fiber network, in order to provide value-added services, both for shareholders but also for consumers. And third, being the catalyst of the activities towards the energy transition with the interconnection of offshore wind farms and development of storage units. Moving to the new regulatory period, 2022-2025, the focus of the management team the next month is on getting the right regulatory framework towards building on our existing efficiency program to identify further opportunities. The next key regulatory milestone is the publication of RISE decision regarding the allowed revenue and asset base of the next regulatory period, which is expected in the last quarter of 2021. We hope a little bit earlier, but let's be realistic. The next 4 years is a crucial period for IPTO's infrastructure, when rapid changes expected in the energy system to reduce carbon emissions and get Greece in track to meet its long-term environmental goals. Therefore, we need a regulatory framework that can unlock investment that will be needed in the most efficient way, providing investments but also clarity. This means that a fair base level of return to commensurate with the risk we undertake. Closing the presentation, despite the adverse conditions of COVID-19 pandemic, the company responded instantly to the crisis, setting as priority the health and safety of human resources, while taking measures that ensured the continuous development of our important projects with the least possible impact. This effort, in combination with stability of our business model of FIPTO Group, led to this strong growth in last year, 2020. Looking forward to 2021, the group is closely monitoring its budget, and there is no indication that both its financial figures and projects will be materially affected due to the pandemic. With that, I would like to thank you for participating, for your patience in my long speech, and we are ready to take any questions you might have.
The first question is from the line of Labate Victor with Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for your presentation. I had three questions. I was wondering if you could tell us what kind of CapEx you expect for 2021, and if you could provide a breakdown of this CapEx for 2020 and 2021. And also tell us what is the CapEx assigned for the renewal of your cable network. Also, in the past, you said that you budgeted half a billion euros of CapEx per year. And I was wondering if that still holds for 2022 and after. My second question was about the safety level of cash at which you operate, and how much cash do you project to have on your balance sheet in 2021. Third question was about the what was about energy storage You recently announced a strategic cooperation with Sunlight, and I was wondering if you plan to develop energy storage projects in the future. Last question regarding the target model. We saw price spikes last year, and as an operator of the transmission network, can you tell us what is the reason of this extreme pricing witnessed in the first weeks of implementation of the target model? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your questions. First question is about CAPEX. The breakdown for 2020 is, let's say, 160 million euros for the phase one of Crete, Crete Peloponnese. We had the first CAPEX for Attica Crete that amounted close to 110 million euros. And of course, we had the last amounts for Cyclades interconnections that were electrified during this year and amounted to 69 million euros. Of course, there are some other smaller projects like Skiathos, like West and East Corridor of Peloponnese, and some other smaller projects that have the rest of the amount. In a similar fashion, you have to expect that in 2021 we will stay at this level of CAPEX. Of course, you can see that Attica Crete interconnection will be in full deployment, so it will occupy an increasing role in our CAPEX program. So this is the guidance I can offer you right now. And of course, the previous guidance about what you should expect after 2022 is valid, is there. All these projects are scheduled to go live gradually, and we expect an average CAPEX over than around half a billion euros annually. On this, it's an opportunity to discuss again about the context of projects of major importance. This is an incentive that the regulator had already offered to us in the decision 340 of 2014 that can give this characterization to some critical project and heavy project for the system. And there is incentive for us that if we finish this project with on budget and fast, we will get a WACC premium for the first 12 years of the operation of the asset that can reach 2.5%. And in some, there is an incentive-based scheme that it could go at the bottom of 1% over the current WACC of IPTO. So 2.5% over and above the WACC of the company at the, for each year. So we expect for the coming years this project of major importance that until now is Attica Crete and the fourth phase of Cyclades to have a bigger weight on our regulated asset base. And this means that we should you should follow them and treat them and understand them deeply. In exchange, IPTO cannot put during the construction phase of the project the working project into the regulated asset base. We don't have remuneration during the construction phase in exchange of higher compensation at the operation years. And we, as a management, as CIPTO, we're happy with this arrangement because it also brings us a good incentive, because we have higher returns than we would get if the project had a normal WACC without a premium. And because we're efficient, we have sold this efficiency the last years, we are not worried about delaying giving the opportunity to the regulator to decrease the WACC premium. So this is something I wanted to tell relating to our CapEx for the next year. You should expect a big proportion of that to be PMI. So this is the reason I gave you this information. Now, related to, if I'm not mistaken, about our ASK renovation plan.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. We expect that in the coming years, in the next 5 years, we will deploy a program around 200 million euros in total. And you can expect that most of this program will come earlier. So this 200 million euros will be allocated mostly in the next 2-3 years, and the rest in the last year. And this is a program that has already been communicated and agreed with the regulator. We have included in our last proposal for the 10-year development plan that we submitted last month. And it has the consensus of all stakeholders, this extra cost for the energy system, because stability and reliability is very important for the next years. Concerning the minimum cash level we should maintain, actually it is the working capital that the regulator recognizes for us, and we can we include it into our regulated asset base, and it's around 60 to 80 million euros. Concerning and the other question, if I'm not mistaken, is about energy storage.
Yes, you recently announced a strategic cooperation with a company called Sunlight, and I was just wondering if you plan to develop energy storage projects, large projects in the future.
Yeah. Look, the energy framework, the framework for energy storage is right now under finalization from the Ministry of Energy. Of course, we see opportunities for IPTO to develop, to use the storage technology for its main role, that it is transmission of energy, and to improve our efficiency in benefit of consumers. So, yes, we are examining, and according to the European framework and to best practices of other TSOs, to see how we can use this technology But it's not our role to compete with the private sector that they want to develop such activities. We are trying to use this technology for the core of our activities, that it is transmission of energy. And yes, if we can improve the capacity of our interconnections by installing batteries, or if we can reduce the need for cold reserve in the islands we interconnect with some storage systems, it's something that we are really looking into. Under this framework, we have signed this MOU with Sunlight as a company that operates locally, and it's value added for the Greek economy to cooperate. But at the same time, we are looking at synergies with many other companies, private investors, to see how we can achieve the target of ours. So the answer is yes, but under the framework that it will be voted soon, and for our main role as TSO, and for this is what we are trying to do.
Okay. The next question is from the line of
If I'm not mistaken, there was another question regarding target model. Eleni Zariku, Director of Finance of Crypto, can provide an answer.
I apologize.
So, hello. So, regarding the high prices in the balancing market, we have to say that in every launch of a balancing market in Europe, we have seen very high prices at the beginning, and especially if we look at the example of Germany. And then this lasted, if you all remember, balancing market began at November. These high prices lasted for about 7 weeks, but then from December and onwards, there is a normalization of the prices, but the prices were normalized, but even if they were normalized, there was an informal discussion with the ministry, as we know, and of course the regulator set a cap and imposed a temporary abolish to bid in negative prices, so we do not expect any further increase in price in the balancing market.
Thank you.
And if I may add on this to Eleni, Victoria, this is George. It is quite, you know, it's not unusual for these reforms and this major project in coupling the market with euro to occur fluctuations and big fluctuation volatility in the market. So as you can understand that, it's quite natural, it's quite reasonable, makes sense, I mean, to see that volatility. And then after also the measures imposed by IPTO for with the price cap, we saw also the normalization. And definitely depends on the market and the competition of the market.
And the regulator that needs to monitor the market.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Hadzidakis Manos with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for the presentation. Aside from the interconnection, the island interconnection, can you give us some color regarding your international plans, i.e. Bulgaria, Italy, Albania, and it was in the press quite recently, a plan connecting Crete with Libya. Can you give us some details about potential scheduling and potential capex of these projects?
Yep, thank you for the question. In general, we're trying to reinforce international interconnection of Greece to other countries, either northern, either Italy, or Africa. It's something that we are always looking into. And there are discussions both with the government, but also with the European Union, the foreign ministry. And it's something that we are always trying to optimize and to increase transmission of energy to and outside of Greece and inside. Of course, some projects are more mature, like the Bulgarian one, that the tender for the second Greece-Bulgaria interconnection will be announced within this month, specifically for a domestic part of Nea Santa Marica. Construction has already started in Bulgaria and has been accelerated by 6 months, with completions estimated in 1 year time from now. IPTO Group is very close to signing a cooperation agreement for the feasibility study of a second supporting interconnection between Greece and Italy. And the signing of a memorandum of cooperation for the construction of an electrical interconnection between Greece and Egypt is expected soon. Moreover, there are other plans for upgrade of the line with Turkey or with Albania and Northern Macedonia. These projects are beneficial for the energy market, but the philosophy is not include this cost into our RAB and use interconnection rights that we collect every year towards this direction, or utilize even subsidies like for PCI projects from connecting European facility, or other subsidies that they are available for this purpose. So I don't expect the boost in of our RAB to come from international interconnections. However, because as the TSO of this country, we are very responsible for international interconnections, we fully focus on developing always and these interconnections and bridge with the neighboring countries.
So we don't have any concrete apart from Bulgaria. We are still on a feasibility, let's say, stage.
I would say so. Of course, the studies are necessary in order to start physically to build an interconnection. And I expect in the coming months or in 2022 to have some more solid developments to discuss.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Grant Christopher with Callaway Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the call. I just have one quick question. So it's been reported that the distribution system operator will receive a WACC just below 7%. So I was just wondering if there's any clarity or updated guidance that you guys can give on the WACC that you think you'll receive, and if you think it should be similar to that received from the distribution system operator.
Yes, we have this information that HEDNO's WACC will be 6.7% stable for the next years. And this is I think, something positive for us. The regulatory framework of HEDNO is the most modern one, so we expect some adjustments in our own regulatory framework to follow HEDNO's one. So yes, this means that the regulator sees as this framework as benchmark for all regulated companies. Therefore, we can expect a similar treatment to HEDNO. Of course, you HEDNO and IPTO are not same companies. They have different leverage ratios. They have other fundamental data that differ. So it's not easy to confer that from the 6.7% of HEDNO, we will go to 6.7% of IPTO. However, this management team takes very seriously this decision and will try its best in the next month to achieve the best result for our company. Because of the nature of our CAPEX program the next years, it's not only the WACC we focus. We really focus on this PMI scheme. We want the current PMI scheme to continue and be improved. And we will give emphasis on that because almost 70% of our next CAPEX will be under this category. So no matter what the WACC is for the next 9 years, so the vision for until 2030, if WACC premium is 2.5, this makes a significant for and 2.5 for 12 years. This makes a significant improvement in our revenues for the next years. So yes, WACC is very important. HEDNO's result give us hope that can achieve this level, but also for us PMI framework is equally important.
Understood, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nikokirakis Ioannis with Alpha Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, that's my side. Thanks so much for your presentation. I just would like to ask regarding the quick telephone is the connection. And the delays we've been reading around regarding the relation, in relation with the Ministry of Calabria. Can you give us a flavor, any updates on this issue and possible alternatives from this, and when would you expect this to be completed? Thanks so much.
So for Crete 1 Peloponnese, we are at the trial operation period. We both lines, both cables, both routes have been installed, and we are trying to optimize its operation to be able the next month to operate the line as a regular line of our network. Also, there are discussions with PPC and the Ministry about the high voltage assets in Crete that they have to come to IPTO. And this, we have found an agreement and it's going to be implemented the next month. So you can expect also to increase our regulated asset base by these assets. I expect a price of around 60 to 70 million euros. And concerning Calabria, all the team of IPTO is trying really hard to overcome this difficulty. We are optimistic. We have offered many solutions to all the stakeholders, to the local community, to the church, to the ministry, to the market. We come with proposals and we are optimistic that soon happy news will be announced to everyone, and a very important project for the upgrade of the network in Peloponnese that will provide stability to the whole region, not only Peloponnese, will come soon.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karapelas for any closing comments. Thank you.
Well, it doesn't look like we've got any more questions. So in this case, I'm going to say thank you, everybody, for joining the call today. I do appreciate it. I know these are difficult times. I hope at some point we will be able to have these meetings face-to-face. Wish you all to be and stay healthy.